Good morning. It's good to be here with y'all. First things first. Okay, so if you see me fiddling with my phone today, I'm not seeing how many people like me on Facebook or checking my messages. My notes are on my phone today, so had a little technical difficulty. So anyway, bear with me, but just know that that's what I'm doing. And if I start writing, well, then obviously I'm sending an email to my wife. That's just, you know, understood, right? Why don't we pray, and then we will read our Bibles together. God, we come to you and we thank you because you are so good, and because you love us, and because you invite us to listen to you. Every time we open this book, you speak to us. And then we could come together in moments like this and open it and read it, and you speak to all of us together. So God, I pray that as we read that you would in fact speak to us, that your word would bear down into our hearts, that you would draw us to you, that you would change us, that you would make us love you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so flip over to Colossians. We're still there. We just started. That was the humorous part of the "we're still there" comment. we are in the book of Colossians, and we're looking at this letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to a group of Christians, probably similar to us in the sense that everything that he said to them is very directly applicable to us. So we've been finding, and we will find that it is quite applicable to our lives. So as we look at this, okay, what we're going to look at today is about getting something wrong. At least that's where I see it connecting with my life, and maybe you'll see the same thing. Hey, have you ever gotten something wrong, like found out that you've been doing something wrong for an extended period of time, and then you realize, or someone tells you, or you're like, oh, I shouldn't be doing that, like, you know, mispronouncing a word? Is there was a word that I said wrong, and then it was pointed out to me, which that's always the wrong way to find out that you've been doing something wrong. You know, somebody telling you. So much better if you just figure it out on your own. But it was pointed out to me in a humorous way, and realized my whole life I've been pronouncing that word wrong, and I still do, so I'm not going to say the word right now. Or maybe you're driving down the road and you're going somewhere and you think that you're going to almost be getting there, and then you see a sign and you go, wait a second, I've been going in the wrong direction. Again, much better for you to figure that out on your own than for your significant other to point that out, right? It's or maybe you've been doing something and then all of a sudden you realize, my whole life, been doing that the wrong way. Like, okay, here's one from me. I like to wear new clothes as soon as I get them because I'm excited about getting them. So if I find a pair of jeans at Sam's on sale and I like them, like Sunday morning, as soon as I buy them Saturday, these aren't new. As soon as I get it, I'm going to put them on and wear them, and I'll wash them when I wash them, but I'm going to wear them first. And my whole life I've been that way, and my mom and then my wife and anybody who's known about that little habit of mine will always say, that's the wrong order to do that in. That's not sanitary. You shouldn't, like, they're new. So someone who I love dearly forwarded me an article, and it's laid out how much gross stuff is found in new clothes. It's Sunday morning and we're in church, so I won't bore you with the details, but just makes your stomach turn. And so now I wash my clothes before I put them on. I realize I've been doing that wrong, and that's all stuff you can recover from. But what if you do stuff that's serious wrong? What if you realize, wait a second, I've been doing this wrong, or kind of in a wrong way, or there's so much more here that I haven't been doing, and it's not just, you know, washing your clothes when you buy them kind of doing it wrong, but it's big stuff, like serious, important stuff that could actually impact your life in a big way. That's what the text today is going to point out to us, I think, that there is a lot more to something that we do. It's prayer. There's something, a lot more to prayer than what many times we put on prayer. In fact, I think when I read this, I say to myself, I tend to do prayer wrong. Not bad, but not nearly as much and as fully as what it should be. I'm missing out on a lot, as if I was going in the wrong direction, and I'm never going to get where I want to go because I'm doing it wrong. We tend, well, I'll say me, but I think it might be more global than me. I think I tend to pray prayers that are kind of anemic. They're kind of weak. They're not as strong as they should be. I don't think that I take advantage of the full power of prayer. And we'll look at the passage that we're going to look at today, but I just want to lay the groundwork first. First of all, I don't pray as much as I should. I mean, there's times every day when I pray, so before I eat, I know I'm supposed to say something, and so I do. And before I go to bed, it's like, yeah, and if there's a problem, something happens, I'm like, oh yeah, God, please, and I'll pray then. And I do pray other times, and I try to pray more, but if I'm not watchful, my prayer kind of becomes an almost, just a quick aside kind of thing. You know, we'll pray on Sundays or before a study, you pray or after a study, but and then when I do pray, a lot of times, at least looking at the text we're going to look at today, I think I might pray wrong. Not bad, but not the way that I should. I think a lot of times I catch myself saying things, just phrases from memory, and not thinking about what I'm saying. So if you put food in front of me, I would just like automatically go into robot mode and God, thank you for saying that we're about to eat. And I would say what I've always said, and it's not a written down prayer in a prayer book, so you know you couldn't criticize me for that, but it might as well be. It's something I memorize. I mean, sometimes I say it with feeling, but a lot of times I just say it because, you know, that's what I say. That's what I'm supposed to say. How often do you pray prayers and it's just kind of the same thing? And it's not bad because it's the same thing, but it's the same thing and you're not thinking about it when you're praying. You're just saying the words that you've always said. You can almost string together phrases that you've said throughout your life and make an acceptable prayer, right? Especially if you've been around church long enough, you know when to say bless us all and thank you and amen. You know how to string the right phrases together and it'll sound like a good prayer. And you'll get through the prayer. Not always, but sometimes I think we do that. And then when I pray, more than just the rote things, I tend to pray for myself, which, again, that's not bad, is it? You're supposed to pray for yourself. I mean, that's a good thing to do, but I tend to kind of pray for myself, unless I'm thinking about it, to the exclusion of other people. I'm much more likely to pray for what I'm going through than for what you're going through. Sorry. You say, I'll pray for you. What do you really mean? If I remember to pray, I'll probably end up praying for me, right? We tend to pray for ourselves more, not always. And if you're in this season right now where you're praying just intensely for other people, that's good. That's good. But you're probably in the midst of us the exception to that right now because we tend to pray not as much as we should and for ourselves. And then when we do pray for ourselves or others, what do we pray for? What are the bulk of our prayers for? Read a church bulletin, any church. I'm not picking on us. Just pick any church bulletin. Look at the prayer list. Think about the last 10 times somebody's asked you to pray for them. Probably they haven't asked you to pray bad things, but I'm guessing that most of the stuff that we pray for when we do pray is, well, my family, my job, my health, my stuff, my life. I'm going to go on a trip. Pray away. I'm going to say this facetiously. I know we should pray when we travel. Pray away the nails in the path. Earthly stuff, right? We tend to focus most of our prayers on the category of give me a good, comfortable, happy life here. Give me what I want and make me happy. And if anything painful comes into my life, please take it away. And I'm going to ask you to pray that God would take that painful stuff out of my life as well. So immediately comes to mind, not the verse we're going to look at today, but like in James, where it says, if you're sick, call the elders of the church, pray. Pray for, and God will heal the prayer. Okay, we're supposed to pray for our sickness and for traveling and for family and for when we have a job interview and everything. But what if that wasn't supposed to be the bulk of what we pray? What if that maybe should be like a small part of what we pray, and there's this whole other thing we're supposed to be praying for that we're kind of missing? And see, when I read passages like, we're going to read it, the one that we're going to read today, I wonder, maybe we're praying the bulk of our prayers for things that should be the small part of our prayers, and we're not praying the bulk of our prayers for what we really should be praying for. Look, and then when we do that, we miss out on this power that we could have in our prayers, and we kind of lose our way, and we end up not using prayer for what we should use it for, and we miss out on what we could receive and what God would be willing to do if we would but ask Him to do. Look at Colossians chapter 1. We're going to read 3 and 4, and then 9 and 12, and don't freak out. 5 through 8 will be covered next week. We're not going to skip it. But I think these two sections go together, so let's read together. We always thank God. Who's the we there? Probably the people writing this, so Paul and Timothy, if you look at verse 1. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Who's the you? It's in this case, it's the group of Christians who are in the town of Colossae. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have... I read past 4. It just flows. Okay, we'll go to that next week. Jump down to verse 9. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in the manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. And what I see when I see Paul saying, we always pray for you, and then he talks about 9 through 12, it's the content of what he prays for them. I doubt he prayed this rotely, because in other places, like look at Ephesians chapter 1, he gives another prayer that he prays for the people in Ephesus, and it's similar, but it's different. I think these are the kind of things he prayed for them, to God, for them, on their behalf, these are the kind of thing. He gives them the stuff. He's like, this is what I pray for you when I pray for you. Does he always pray all of those items? Probably not every time. Does he pray them differently? Probably as the Spirit moves him, as he knows about their needs. But he prays for them, and he prays these things for them. And what the big thing that I see in this text is that when we pray for other people, God changes them. God changes other people when we pray for them. When we pray for other people, when we ask God to do things inside of people, in their relationship with Him, in their heart and their soul, God changes them and moves inside of people. And you say, well, where does that promise in this? It's not explicit, but I think implicitly, that's the message of this. Paul is saying, why would he pray for them always? Why would he do this kind of prayer for them if it wasn't that, well, God answers that. God does that. He changes people when other people pray for them. God changes people when other people pray for them. When you pray for people, God works inside of them. That's what I think the implicit message of this, because Paul is saying, I pray this stuff because he knows, he's implying, God does this in you when we ask Him to. That's power. That's incredible power. That's as incredible as it is when God does something physically for us. I had the job interview and then it worked out and thank you. Or I had the job interview and it didn't work out, but you give and take away, so thank you. Blessed be your name. Okay, when God shows Himself in physical things, that's incredible. But how much more incredible is it when God works inside of a person? That's power. That's the kind of power that Paul says he directs towards, through God, towards these people. And when I pray the normal prayers that I just by habit fall into praying, I miss out on God moving like that in other people through my prayers. And if God does that, if God does actually work in people when we pray for them, isn't it then praying not like, oh, I got to pray before I eat. Oh, I didn't pray. Does the food work? How does that? I got to pray before I go to bed. I forgot to pray last night. I'll pray this morning a little longer. Instead of it being like a burden, it's what an incredible privilege. What an incredible privilege that we can talk to the Creator of the universe about other people. So maybe like, I know, I want you so bad to be in a different place spiritually. Not you, but, you know, Ewan is an example. Ben's always my example. And I've talked to you about it, and we've studied, and you're like, eh, okay, I get you, Phil. And there's nothing in your heart that, like, opens up to that. I can talk to someone much more powerful who will move in your heart. That's an incredible privilege. God would listen to that and then do stuff in other people when his children ask him to? Isn't that incredible? And if that's a privilege, well, with great power comes great what? It's responsibility. We have a responsibility to do what Paul is saying that he does, because if God truly works in people when we pray, when we ask him to do stuff in other people, that's an incredible responsibility that we then have. It's like, I should pray for, you know, like, help me feel better and this and that and the other thing, but I should really, really take full advantage of the fact that my Father listens when I ask him to move inside of other individuals, and he actually does that. I should do that regularly. I should talk to him. And so, go back to the text. I think Paul gives us a very good example. He gives us the roadmap. Maybe we're kind of going down the wrong path, and it's like, okay, this is what prayer could be. And then he gives us a really detailed roadmap of how you pray like this for other people. Look at verse 3. He talks about the how and the when of the praying. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. We always thank God. We always thank God. So focus on that thank. How many of my prayers start out with, God, I need you to do this, I need you to do this, I need you to do this, I need you to do this. And I have this list, and most of it has to do with making my life more comfortable here on this earth, and maybe some other people's lives more comfortable here on this earth. None of that is bad in and of itself, but I go to God and say this, this, and this, and this. And what do they say? What does Paul say? Before I even get to the asking part of anything, I thank God. I thank God. I recognize his power. I recognize he's the one who does the stuff. He's the one that makes things happen. And I see what he's done, and I say, thank you. And he leans into that even more in verse 12, so we'll talk about that more. But he thanks before asking, and then he prays for other people. And this is just Not to beat a dead horse, but I think this is part of the course correction for us in our prayers. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. And Paul, in his letters, there's a theme when he talks about praying. It's always praying for other people. He says, pray for me. He asks people to pray for him, and then he says, and I pray for you, and I always pray for you. He's talking about we're supposed to pray for other people. The bulk of our prayers, at least if you read Paul's letter, this being a great example, the bulk of our prayers should be focused on interceding for other people, going before God for other people, and talking to God about other people. That's what we should do. We should pray for other people. And then look at the frequency part of that. We always thank God for you. And then look at verse 9 too, just since we're there. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you. To always thank God. We haven't ever stopped praying for you since we heard about you. Since God put you on our radar and we felt like we should be praying for you and we should talk to God about you. We haven't stopped. We always pray for you. And I read this, and I wish I could just ask this kind of in a judgmental way, but I have to do it to myself because this is really convicting for me. So is there anybody that I can say I always pray for you? When I read that, it's like, who could I say I always pray for you? Never stopped praying for you. Always pray for you. Every single day, I talk to God about you. And this isn't like the wife and children and people who live with him and people he sees and pictures and he talks to them on Facebook and so they're always right in front of him. These are people he never met. Never met these people. Okay, isn't that even more incredible? Always pray for you. Never met the people. Always pray for you. That's incredible. It's perseverance. It's praying days and weeks and months on end for the same people. That's inspirational. And then he talks about who, since we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints. So he said, we heard about you, and then we started praying for you. And so we say, so who should I be praying for? Well, it's easy to go in one of two directions. You've all heard the prayer. It's like, God bless who? Everybody in the whole. Do you think that's what Paul is saying? That he's like, I just throw up a blanket, God, for everybody in the whole world, all the Christians and all the non-Christians, just help them all, and I'm going to pray some specific things for these, just everybody. That's not it. He's saying, I pray specifically for you. And then he tells other people in other cities the same thing. So he's praying specifically for different individuals. He has a list. He has a list, and his list was pretty long. He has a list of specific individuals that he prays, that he talks to God for regularly. It doesn't say daily, but you read that. It's hard to not think that it would be daily. We always thank God. Never stopped asking God, talking to God about you. So he has this list. Who should we pray for? Well, who's God put in your life? Paul heard of these people. God put them before him, popped them up on his radar, and something, the Holy Spirit in him said, pray for them. So he started praying for them. Who are the people God's put around you? Who are the people that you would say, I should probably pray for them? Start that list. Start just, you know, that person and that person. And maybe there's only a couple people, but then the list grows. God brings people into your consciousness, and you say, oh, yeah, that person. I should pray for them. And that person that I always talk to at work, and they never want to talk about God, but I could pray to God about them, and he could work in them. Who are people, Christians, non-Christians, that are part of your life? Or even people like this that you've never heard, that you've never met, but God brings them in front of you and you say, I can pray for them. And then we look at what he prays for them for. I know, bad sentence structure, but look at verse 9. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you. Now he's going to say three things that he prays for. Asking that you be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. He says, I want you to have knowledge. I want you to know what God's will is. Always pray for you, and we pray that God would give you knowledge, that he would take away your spiritual blindness, that you would be able to see and understand. It's that he would take away the I don't want to read the Bible. The Bible is boring. I couldn't imagine reading chapters of the Bible every day. That would be the most boring thing I could ever do. That God would take that away, that he would put in your heart, I want to read this word. I want to know you. That he would open up your heart and mind to know, and then he said to understand that you would be filled with knowledge of his will, so you would understand spiritual wisdom and understanding, that it would get in, that you would say, that's how it works. This is how a relationship with God works. I get it. I understand. And that God would make you understand how he thinks, and that he would take the veil from your heart and mind, and that you would love and appreciate Christ, and that you would see the reality of eternity, that he would open up your mind, that he would open up your mind. That's what Paul prays for them. And then look at verse 10, the second thing he prays. And so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And I'm guessing when he prayed every day for them, it was more specific. But in general, he says, I pray that you would live, that knowledge that you have of God that's growing, that would show up in your life, that you would live more and more like Jesus, that it would be an ever-growing, ever-changing, you would be more and more like Jesus because you're learning to love and know him more. And so then in your life, you would become more and more like him, that you would stop being your own boss, and that you would let him be the boss of you, and that you would do what he says, that you would be pleasing to God, not that God would make you pleasing to him, because if you're in Christ, you are pleasing to him, but that God would make, that you would live in a way that is pleasing to God, so that your outside life would reflect what God has made you on the inside. I ask that God would make you be like Jesus, and that you would grow, and that you would bear good fruit, not just in your own life, that you would be a different person, but that you would bear fruit in helping other people know Jesus. I pray that God would increase your influence in the kingdom, that you'd be able to study with people and help other people know him, and that you would, your life would be like Christ's life. I pray for your knowledge. I pray for your life. And then the third prayer, the third petition in verse 11, may you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. The wording is almost identical to when he talks in Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3 about the Holy Spirit, or Romans 8 about the Holy Spirit, that when Paul talks like this, he tends to be talking about the Holy Spirit, the power of God in his children. And so he's praying, I think, what Jesus says to pray in Luke 11, 26, when he says, be persistent in prayer, and he gives some general examples. And then remember how he ends it in Luke? He says, if you ask your Father, will he not give you the Holy Spirit? Paul is saying, I'm praying that you'd be strengthened with the power of God, with his Spirit inside of you, and that the glorious might of God would be in you, and that you would be able to what? Have all endurance, so that you would be able to keep going, that you would be able to start the jobs that God gives you to do, that you'd be able to start, you'd get in the water and be baptized, make your decision to follow Jesus, and then come out of the water and keep going, not give up, that you would be able to do what God wants you to do and keep doing it, and that you would have endurance, and that you would be joyful, that the Spirit would give you the fruit of the Spirit, that you'd be joyful on the inside, you'd be a happy Christian, because God has made us, if we're his children, to be happy children. And so he says, I pray that God would work inside of you and give you his power, his Spirit, because you can't do it. You can't know him and appreciate him and understand him and love him and live for him and be more and more like Jesus. But his Spirit can make you do that. And then look at how he ends his what he says that he prays for them for in verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, it doesn't say if they're the ones giving thanks or if Paul is. I think this is Paul saying, I end my prayer saying thank you to God because he's worked in you. And even as I ask God to continue working in you, and I'm mindful of what he needs, what you need, because you know how when you pray for somebody, ever pray for somebody and you're really mindful of what they need God to do in them. So God, make them be more like this, and make them be more like this, and give them more knowledge. You make them want to read their Bibles, and make their, and you can get to the end of that and say, they're a lost cause. There's so much God needs to do in them. And then Paul says, and then I thank God. I thank God because he's worked in you, and he's made you his children, and he's been working in you. And so I recognize the evidences of God's grace in you as I'm talking to God. And who's the beneficiary of all the prayer up until now? It's the people, because God is asking them him to work in them. But then who's the beneficiary of this part of the prayer, of giving thanks to God? Paul's in his room by himself on his knees praying for these people. And at the end of that, he says, God, do all this stuff in them. And then at the end, he says, and thank you for what you've done. You are so great. Your power is so mighty. You've made them your children, and you've been working in them, and you've been changing them. And that's incredible. Who hears that? That's an easy question for an early Sunday morning. Who hears that prayer? God. Who benefits from that prayer? God. Paul is doing what David says when he says, come bless the Lord with me. He's blessing God. He's glorifying God. He's lifting up God and saying, you're incredible. I glorify you. I see what you've been doing in them. Even as I'm asking you to do all this other stuff in them, I see what you've been doing in them, and it is phenomenal. You are a great, powerful, good God, and that's why I'm talking to you about them, because I want you to do even more in them. So what should we do? If this is what Paul did for these people, if there's this kind of incredible power, you say, yeah. I know what the application is going to be. I should pray for people. But I forget. and then it's like the same person every day and praying for them. And I don't see any changes in them. It's kind of a drudgery thing. It kind of becomes like work. And you wouldn't say this in church, but it's like laziness comes in. And I just kind of almost intentionally forget, because I already asked God. He'll keep that prayer on file and just kind of put it on a loop maybe. I don't know. I've done my part. But if God actually changes people when we pray for them, and you see Paul's prayer and you see his perseverance in prayer, Wouldn't it be worth us praying in the same way and saying, I'll just pray for people, specific people, over and over and over and over again, with full trust and confidence that you're going to change them. Could you imagine how God would change the people in your life? Could you imagine actual people, they picture their faces, the people you love, and if you were to pray for them every day, and if Paul did that for these people, and if God worked in them because he was praying for them, what would it be like if God worked in them, in these people that you love and care about, in the same way that God did for these people as Paul prayed for them? See, there's life-changing, eternity-changing power in prayer as we pray for people to know and love God more. So, yeah, the application is that we should dedicate ourselves to petitioning our Father for other people, to praying for other people. That should be one of our main Christian duties that we do every day. And if you say, well, I'm not even a Christian, I'm just here observing, I'm seeing if this is for me. What do I do? Am I supposed to get on my knees and fervently ask God for people? You can, but talking to God as your Father starts with him being your Father and you submitting to him and saying, I give myself to you. to be able to talk to God as your Father, you have to become His child. And you do that by giving yourself to Him, by making a decision. I'm gonna surrender to Him by repenting and being baptized, and He will put you in His family. And as of that moment, you cannot just talk to God. You can talk to God, your Father. And in this community, when you are ready to make that decision, when God moves on you and you say, I want that relationship with God, you can tell someone. You can repent. You can be baptized. You can come into God's family. And then if you've already made that decision, the application for this is very direct for you and I. It's, let's dedicate ourselves to pray for people. Make a list. Maybe you say, I don't need a written list. That's so legalistic, and I have a good memory, and congratulations. I have to write mine down and then like keep going back and looking at it, and partially because I forget, and partially because I'll start praying, and I'll get to like, you know, I'll pray for my wife and my son and my other son, and then this, and then it's like, oh yeah, and that other, and then I'll start thinking of stuff, and I'll have my eyes closed, but I won't be praying anymore. I'll be planning, and then this problem in my code, and then what about on Sunday? And so I need like a thing to keep me going, and you don't have to do that, but it's very helpful to write an actual list. You can carry it with you, type it on your phone, whatever. Don't look at it when you're driving, but you pray when you're driving, keep your eyes open. Make a list. Have a mental list. Have a physical list, whatever works for you. But make a list of people so that you can say, you don't have to brag about it. Paul wasn't bragging about it to them. But maybe in heaven someday you can look at someone and say, I always prayed for you. I always prayed for you. Every day I prayed for you. I said, wow, I didn't know. And you're telling them then and not now, so it wouldn't be a glory to you thing. It'd be a glory to God thing, right? Make a list. Make a list of people that you'll pray for. And then do your best to pray for them every day. I have a list, and I've committed to pray for these people every day, and I don't do it. I don't. But because I have the list, and I try to pray for them every day, I pray for them a lot more than I would if I didn't have the list and if I didn't have the commitment to pray for them every day. So just talk to God as you're going through your day. You don't have to start your day and pray for the whole list, and then I forgot in the morning, so now I can't do it. No, just as you're driving to work, pray for those people. Talk to God for those people, and let God's power work in them as you ask Him to do that. Why don't we stand? And we'll pray together. Then we'll sing. Dear God, we come to You. And we thank You because you listen to us when we talk to You. So much so that You even command us to talk to You. And then You give us these examples of people like the Apostle Paul who did that. And it seems like, from what he said in his letters, he was always talking to You about people and asking You to work in them. So God, thank You that You give us the same privilege and the same ability and also the same responsibility. God, I pray that You would make us be a community of people who intercede before You on behalf of the people that You put in our lives. That no one who You bring into our lives is safe from us praying for them over and over and over again. And that as we talk to You about other people, that we would experience deep communion with You. And as You do things in those people's lives, that we would know that You hear us. God, I pray that as we do that and as You work, that You would protect us from pride. That we would never say, I prayed for that. Look what happened. But rather, we could be like Paul and say, we always give thanks to You because You are the God who works miracles in people's hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.